Blog Talk Radio.
Summer day, we are with you for the next 30 minutes. We will be joined by Kyle DeManincourt shortly to talk about NBA free agency. We've been in such a golf mode that we haven't gotten Kyle on, and he was away. So we're going to get him on and talk some NBA and some MLB. He is a Blue Jay fan. The Blue Jays obviously made some big dealings over the MLB trade deadline. We will start with the quest for the Wanamaker Trophy, which is next week, PGA Championship on TNT and CBS. The folks from Turner and CBS combining once again for the PGA Championship. We will preview that, obviously, here next week. And one of the players in that field next week will be Troy Merritt, who shot 61 on Saturday at the Quicken Loans National. Did I say Quicken Loans Invitational? I meant Quicken Loans National. At RTJ Grand National. And played some solid golf. Got his first win. Congrats to him. 61. Helped your score. That's what he shot on Saturday. And now turns around against to play Firestone this week, Bridgestone Invitational, and then come back next week and go to Whistling Straits and play the PGA Championship. Troy is one of those guys like John Merrick and John Malinger, who's right now on the web.com tour, who perennially show up on Thursday, Friday leaderboards, some on Saturday, and then fall victim to, as Mike Tirico says, leaderboard gravity on Sunday. So for him to actually come through and beat Ricky Fowler and get his first PGA Tour win was really nice to see. He's apparently a good guy. It was nice to see him come through and get the victory. And I'm sure that it will be the first of many, well, maybe not many, because I don't know how many victories are realistic for any tour players these days, unless you're a mega talent like a Jordan Spieth or a Rory McIlroy, but I'm sure it's the first of several. For Mr. Merritt, we will take a 30-second timeout and come back. And when we do, Kyle DeManincourt will be with us on the other side of this break to talk about the National Basketball Association. We will be back in 30 seconds. Just teeing it up.
Sometimes tough isn't enough. Lou Gehrig was baseball's Iron Man, but lost it all to ALS, a muscle-wasting disease that destroyed his skills and ended his life in just a few years. MDA has been leading the fight to vanquish ALS for decades. Truly effective treatments must be found, because the battle Lou Gehrig fought is still being waged in households across America. Call 1-800-572-1717 to learn more about what MDA is doing to strike out ALS and save lives.
We're back. I'm teeing it up with Jeremy Schilling, and we welcome to the show Kyle DeManincourt, NBA fanatic. Good afternoon, sir.
Hey, Jeremy, how are you?
I'm good. You had to turn down an appearance a couple weeks ago because you went to Denver. Was Denver worth it to miss a teeing it up appearance?
You know, I tell you what, it would have been pretty cool to do the show via satellite phone or something when I was in the air. But I tell you what, if you've never been to Denver, I highly, highly recommend it.
I was there many years ago, 2000, in fact. I watched the Season 1 Survivor season finale from Colorado. And I watched Tiger Woods' shot in the dark at Firestone, this week's Firestone Invitational there. 15
oh, wow.
years from some ski town. So, yeah, no, I have been there once. It was very hot in Denver and cooler elsewhere. And if I remember correctly, and my mom's not here, so I can't ask her, I believe that's the trip that I had braces on. And while playing golf, I attempted to take off my glove with it, with my mouth, with my teeth, and one of the brace, you know, square things that goes on your teeth fell off, and we were forced to find an orthodontist in Colorado, and the guy was the nicest guy ever.
Sounds like a trip you'll never forget.
And we have kept his business card on the refrigerator ever since.
Great.
I'm not sure why, since there would be no need for us to use his services again, but he and his staff were all, and they squeezed us in at the end of the day, and, you know, we're out of town, he's never seen my teeth before, and he was able to get me back on track.
Yeah, well, hey, now you can spread his business, maybe. You can spread the word.
All right, so this is a very nice segue, because this summer for you is about travel. And when you're traveling, Kyle, it's about finding the right flight and finding the right hotel. And hotel rooms are very nice things. They have windows, they have TVs, they have doors, they have a chair, hopefully they have a desk. And we saw all of these things used in the form of emojis when it came to the courting and the free agent fiasco that was DeAndre Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of meandered into that one.
Yeah.
When you sat down there and saw that he had possibly changed his mind, what went through your head?
Well, I was shocked. Obviously, you know, with the way things are today, with having Twitter and all the other social media sites available, you tend to hear things before they happen, or you hear rumblings of things that may be going on. And I had first seen a tweet, I can't remember who it was, but a rumor that DeAndre Jordan was considering breaking his commitment, his verbal commitment with the Mavericks to go back to the Clippers, that he was torn. And once it escalated to where Blake Griffin and those some guys and Doc Rivers were holding him hostage in his house, refusing to let him speak with Mark Cuban or allegedly with any of the other players from the Mavericks, I mean, it kind of turned into a huge fiasco. And don't get me wrong, DeAndre Jordan, he's a great player. He's one of the best centers in the league today. But is he really worth all of that? I mean, for a guy who doesn't play in late-game situations because he can't shoot free throws, I mean, that was a lot of hoopla, in my opinion.
Aka Jordan.
Yeah.
You know, it shows you the value of it is interesting. It shows the value of A, big men, B, the fact that, you know, that if you have certain skills but not other skills, people will forgive you, and then they will throw at you absurd amounts of money because
mm-hmm.
that's what they do. They can throw at you absurd amounts of money. Who, in your mind, would have who ended up the biggest, or who would have ended up the biggest loser here? If he had gone to the Mavs, would the Clippers have been as big losers as the Mavs are for not getting him?
I think they would have. I think just because of how close the Clippers, they were closer last year, obviously, than the Mavericks were in terms of making that playoff run. And I think the nucleus of the Clippers, it's obviously a little bit younger than Dallas with Dirk, you know, towards the end of his career now. Tyson Chandler gone, Monte Ellis gone. So had the Clippers not gotten him back, I think it was definitely a much bigger loss for them because I think their title window is right now. And with getting him back, I mean, they are legit, you could argue, right behind San Antonio or Golden State in the West, especially with the additions of Paul Pierce, Lance Stevenson, Cole Aldridge, Josh Smith. I mean, they completely revamped that roster.
What's interesting to me is if you look at the West, okay, the Warriors lost David Lee, which everybody saw coming because clearly that team had moved on from him. And it was, and you know, for years it was try to compete with the Lakers. For years it was try to compete with the Spurs. Now, obviously, it is try to compete with the Warriors. But to me, and I don't know if you feel the same way, the West is so deep that I don't know if you could see anybody go on a run that would last 3 to 4 years. I think we could end up in a cycle here where 3 or 4 teams kind of just rotate who gets that title.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think with the Spurs, at least we know that maybe this is their last run with this core group together. Now, obviously, with the addition of Aldridge and Kawhi Leonard there, they have their future pretty well positioned right now. But, yeah, it is hard to imagine a team going on an extended run for the next 2 years, especially in the West. Golden State's young. If they keep that nucleus together, which looks like they're going to do, they are probably well positioned in my mind. Oklahoma City, depending what Kevin Durant decides to do, if he's going to stay, if he's going to go. And the whole, you know, TV contracts and the huge jump in salaries is going to change a lot of things in the next couple of years. That's why a lot of guys took shorter deals this free agency, because they knew that the money would still be there in, you know, 2 or 3 years. It's going to completely change the landscape of the NBA. But, yeah, as far as the West, I do agree with you. I think it's hard to pick one team that you could say, hey, next 3 or 4 years, this is the team to beat.
Who do you think improved themselves the most out West?
But definitely San Antonio. I mean, to be able to do what they did, and obviously one of the most underrated moves of all of that was Danny Green signing for way less than what he could have got, you know, from the rest of the market. I mean, he's a valuable player, shoots the three, very good wing defender, and he took less money because he knew what the Spurs' plan was. He is comfortable, obviously, in San Antonio. They have a very good environment that they built there. So I think the Spurs, with re-signing him, obviously the extension for Kawhi, landing LaMarcus Aldridge, bringing in David West. I mean, they did lose some guys along the way, losing Corey Joseph. That might be a little bit of a loss. Same with Splitter and Bellinelli. But, I mean, they are so stacked. Right now on paper, historically, we might see one of the best offenses we've ever seen.
And this is after a year where the Warriors had one of the best offenses in basketball history. Here's what I find fascinating about the Spurs. This can't go forever with Popovich. I don't think Popovich is going to be 95 and still coaching. And at some point, this becomes the players versus the coach. You know, obviously, Bill Belichick, for all of his potential failures, there's a reason why he will be a first ballot Hall of Famer, is that he's been able to take teams of all kinds of differing talent and take them very far. And what Popovich and his staff have done with players of varying talents has been amazing. So can these guys who they sign, if this is hypothetically Duncan's last year or Popovich's last year or two, do you think they have a team that whoever takes over can sustain what has been an unbelievably long run in today's modern sports?
I mean, I absolutely do. I think we know the Spurs are a dynasty, as far as I'm concerned, and they find ways to rebuild without necessarily rebuilding. They're not tearing everything down and starting back over like a lot of rebuild teams do. And this whole thing, apparently, that they're saying has energized Popovich, that it's made him even hungrier, and that's a scary thing for the rest of the league, because we already know how great of a coach he is. I mean, he's a genius when it comes to the game of basketball. But the fact that he's re-energized by these new players, new schemes that he's going to have to work out, ways to get guys the ball in different places now, I could see Pop hanging around a little bit longer. I thought for sure when Duncan goes, maybe that's when, you know, Pop will go, but I don't see that now. I really don't. And I do think that Becky Hammon, they're grooming her. I mean, she won the Summer League title with the Spurs. I really think that she's maybe the next thing, maybe the first head coach, woman head coach in basketball history.
You know, for me though, Kyle, you have to wonder, Pop lost that huge lead in the Africa game. I don't know what impact that's going to have come the regular season.
Yeah, he might have to cut his interviews even shorter.
All right, so the whole DeAndre Jordan thing overshadowed what was the other soap opera in the West, which is the Sacramento Kings. Can you explain to me what the Sacramento Kings are doing?
You know, honestly, I really have no idea. The fact that George Karl and Cousins clearly aren't getting along. And I don't know if you saw the clip during one of the Summer League games where George Karl went up to say hi to Cousins just to approach. It was a very awkward, uncomfortable moment, you could tell, for both guys. The fact that they're not on the same page right now, that doesn't bode well. I know that there's already rumors that they want George Karl out, and he really hasn't even been there that long. And Cousins is a star. I mean, I've loved him as far as the game, ever since he came into the league. He just has to start to mature even more. He has gotten better over the years, but he's still very immature. I like bringing Divock in into the executive position, the GM position, but the Kings, it's so hard to figure out what exactly they're trying to do. I don't even think they know, to be honest. And the fact that they're trying to push George Karl out of the door already, that tells you everything right there, in my opinion.
Yeah. One last thing before we switch to the East, for now with the West. The Pelicans, is this the start of something for them, do you think? You know, obviously they locked up Anthony Davis long-term, which everybody saw coming because he was a megastar. But, you know, do you think that what the growth signs that we've seen over the last couple of years, that what they did this offseason, can help make them a true, real contender for several seasons to come?
I do. I don't think, obviously, that's going to be this year. I think they will take another step forward this year. Making the playoffs last year was a huge improvement. And, you know, they let Monty Williams go and they brought in Elvin Gentry, who was a terrific, terrific offensive mind. I mean, we saw what he did with Steve Kerr this year from Gold State. So they're trying to get more creative offensively and get Davis the ball in better positions and not so much, you know, isolation type plays. They want to put him in a better position to succeed. So I do think the future is very bright for New Orleans. I just don't think we can expect that right now. Maybe another couple of years for sure. I mean, Davis is 21 years old. I mean, he's got a very, very long future ahead of him.
Did the Cavs do enough to take the pressure off LeBron James? And obviously, what we saw with LeBron in the playoffs and in the finals specifically was because of injuries. But I think you and I both agree that LeBron James cannot sustain this level of basketball forever. He will wear down. Every star wears down. And what teams have asked them to do, especially those Cavs teams early on, and then this Cavs team, has really asked them to put a team on their back, and a guy can't do that forever. Do you think they've done enough this offseason to take the load off?
You know, I do. I think had Kyrie and Kevin Love not gotten hurt this past finals, we could be singing a different tune right now. And I do agree with you as far as how much more LeBron could possibly do physically. I mean, like you said, he will wear down. And we even saw glimpses of it, you know, last season. He'd wear down early in games, and he'd have to catch his breath and get a few minutes to burn to I guess, rejuvenate himself. But as far as the Cavs go, I mean, Kyrie should be healthy. Again, you never know, though, with knee injuries and point guards. That's always a sketchy situation, but he should be healthy. Kevin Love's back. They're going to re-sign Tristan Thompson. They brought in Mo Williams, who has played with LeBron before, so he knows how to play off of him. They pretty much have got the entire core back. Barajal is going to be back. I think people forgot about him, if he could stay healthy. If they could just get JR again, which is rumors are they're close to re-signing him, I think the Cavs are fine. In a very weak Eastern Conference, although it may be a little bit better this year, in my opinion, they are the favorites to win the East and get back to the finals.
Talking with Kyle DeManincourt about the NBA, and I'm just going to deviate here for a moment that Reuters in the UK is reporting that Rory McIlroy will play a practice round at the site of the PGA Championship next week. Rory's obviously been out since he hurt his ankle in a kickabout, which is a term that I chuckle every time I say it, because it's just not a term used in the U.S. With friends before the Open Championship. Your Bulls made two, you know, high-profile, I guess you could say, moves by locking up Jimmy Butler, which obviously got the president's attention and that chat that was supposed to be, I think, about health care. And then Mike Dunleavy, did they do enough, in your opinion? Because for me, as good as Derrick Rose is, I think it's become abundantly clear that he is somebody that needs complementary pieces, that he's somebody that you cannot ask him to take over a team because you don't know when, God forbid, the next problem will be. Have they done enough to make you feel confident?
You know, I think, like you said, their two priorities this offseason, re-sign Jimmy Butler and get Mike Dunleavy back, and they did that. I think what they're starting to realize, though, and that eventually Rose is going to have to realize is this is Jimmy Butler's team. As far as I'm concerned, I mean, Derrick Rose, the Bulls can't get anywhere without him, obviously, but we saw last year the growth of Jimmy Butler, and he hasn't even started to really hit his peak. he's become such a good offensive player along with his terrific defense. So as long as those two can mesh together and there's been those rumors off that they don't like each other off the court, whatever happens off the court, I don't care. As long as they get along and they play well together on the court, that's all that matters to me. But the Bulls' biggest move was the change in coaching. Tibbs, obviously, out the door, bringing in Fred Hoiberg, who management loves. They've loved him for years, and he's going to bring a different style of offense, a little more up-tempo, a little bit more fast-breaking, get them into their sets earlier. So maybe this is the year the Bulls will peak, and they won't have so many injuries. They won't be talking about minutes restrictions or minutes limits and Tibbs pushing the guys too hard, because the window is closing for this team, obviously. You know, Gasol's 35. Noah's in the last year of his contract. I think Rose has another year or two left. And like you said, injuries with him, you know when the next one's happening. So I think they are the biggest threat to the Cavs. It's just a matter of, can they finally reach their potential?
This brings us to the two soap operas, which are the Eastern, the two soap opera members of the Eastern Conference, which is Philadelphia and the Knicks. Philly gets Okafor. Is this the year that they finally start playing basketball in the National Basketball Association?
I want to say yes, but I find that just too hard to believe. I think getting Okafor was great for them. Falling to them is fantastic, but I just don't think they have enough pieces to really be successful. I mean, they have essentially a college roster is what they're throwing out there every year. They're just accruing assets. And now the rumor is that Embiid will be out his second straight year after having another surgery. So that's a tough blow. I am curious to see Noel and Okafor play together. I think that could work. But I just don't see them putting out a roster that, to be honest, might be one of the worst again that we've ever seen. This year in and year out, they keep getting all these assets, and that's great, but eventually they got to do something, right? I mean, you can't keep building for the future.
No, and eventually the rules are going to turn against you because this is just, you will aggravate the fans' attention at some point.
Right.
If you keep on going the wrong direction. Then there's the lovely New York Knicks, my New York Knicks. You know, Porzingis rest. I kind of like Porzingis. But there's talk that Mr. Anthony is not happy, and I Kyle, help me.
Look, I think Knicks fans need to be patient with Porzingis because I do think he's going to be a very, very good player. They obviously struck out in free agency. I mean, they completely overpaid Robin Lopez, but he was the only guy left that essentially was there for them, and he might fit okay in a triangle. I do like their draft, obviously, with Porzingis. I do like Jerian Grant. I think he's going to be a very good player. To be honest, I think the problem in New York is Carmelo. I just think there's just no way to completely satisfy him. I mean, he knew what he signed back up for, you know, when he spurned the Bulls for the money, and he knew what Phil was trying to incorporate with the triangle. So if he can't be patient, and we know he's, you know, you could say he's past his prime at this point. They're going to have to figure something out and say, hey, maybe Melo's not our guy. Maybe we got to move in a different direction.
Yeah, and that's scary. I think whenever big names get mad or deteriorate, we as fans get scared. And I think that is something Knicks fans are trying to come to grips with, is what if Melo never gets back to himself, or what if Melo is disgruntled? Look at D. Will. He was never what the Nets traded for. Never.
Right.
And when they sent him packing, Net fans were happy, which I never thought would happen, but he never delivered on what they expected, which nicely brings me to the next two guys I want to talk about, Kevin Durant and D. Wade. Justice Winslow, I think most people would agree, was the steal of the draft for the Heat, and Pat Riley didn't. At Riley does. But do the Heat have enough pieces to make a run at this?
I do. I love the Heat's starting five, if healthy. Obviously, a lot of their guys, most of their guys have had histories with injuries, starting with Dwayne Wade and then the whole Chris Bosh thing. You hope that he's in good health now and that he can obviously get back to being himself, because he is a terrific player. But I love I just love the Heat's experience. I think they have a lot of fight, and I do think they're still bitter about LeBron leaving. But if you look at that starting five with Wade, Dragic, Bosch, Stang, Whiteside, you got Winslow off the bench. I mean, they are very athletic, and I do think they can compete with the top teams in the East right away.
That will be interesting to see. That will be certainly interesting to see. And then we go to Durant. A lot of people really haven't talked much about the Thunder, but that's a scary injury, and he's kind of been out of the limelight, out of the spotlight. He's not wanting to, you know, show his workout videos. He's not wanting to Instagram us, him and him putting up massive weight like LeBron. I think there's a lot of unknowns there, and for a Thunder team that was that everyone expected such just complete and utter success out of, that hasn't happened, and it's been injuries on both sides. A, do you think Durant will be Durant, and B, did they do enough to solidify themselves in case he isn't himself?
You know, I think he will be Kevin Durant, the Kevin Durant that we all know and love. It may take a little while into the season, obviously. I think they're going to be more cautious, especially at first. And they have a new coach now, obviously, with Billy Donovan and letting Scottie Brooks go. He did a great job with them, obviously, leading to the finals one year. They're almost like the Bulls a little bit. I mean, they obviously have the star power. They have a new coach now. They're hoping that this new system will rejuvenate them. And honestly, it's just health with Oklahoma City. If they can just stay healthy. Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook, I mean, that's, in my opinion, the best 1-2 in the NBA right now. I mean, I don't know anybody that can really top that. So if they can just stay healthy, and I know Ibaka is dealing with some injuries right now too, but they did re-sign Cantor. They matched that offer sheet. So it's all health with Oklahoma City, and I think they'll respond well to Donovan. And as long as he doesn't, like, leave, like he did last time with the Magic, and go back to college, I think OKC is primed to be a legit contender in the West.
And finally, Kyle, the team that I don't believe is getting enough attention, which is the Minnesota Timberwolves. Is this the year that the Minnesota Timberwolves start getting games on national television?
You know, I'm glad you brought them up because I was combing through the roster the other day, and the amount of such good young talent that they have, it's pretty impressive. And we've all mocked the T-Wolves in the past, their management, for some pretty dumb decisions that they've made. But they have put together a very talented group. I do think they'll get national televised games. I think they should, because I think they're going to be exciting to watch. Obviously, you start with Wiggins, the star of that team, and drafting Karl Anthony Towns now. I mean, getting Kevin Garnett back, I mean, that's a pretty good story in itself. So I think Rubio, Muhammad, Levine, they have so many guys that are going to be fun to watch. I do think they'll get some nationally televised games, but they're not a playoff team yet.
Real fast, we got about a minute. Any player or team that I did not mention that you want to bring up?
Well, you know, it's hard to say. We mentioned pretty much the contenders. I guess we could mention the Lakers and what they didn't do, or what the lack of moves that they made. Bringing in Roy Hibbert, sure, great. I don't think Kobe really likes it. And the Lakers, it's another one of those rebuilding years. Let's just hope Kobe can stay healthy, and I guess if he's going to be his last year, go out playing as well as he can.
And the mention of Hibbert's fascinating, because nobody talks about the Pacers anymore. That team which was in the Eastern Conference Finals, which gave so many teams fits, one injury in a summer game, course of that franchise.
Yep, changes everything.
Kyle, thanks as always for coming on Teeing It Up. Great stuff.
Thanks for having me, Jeremy. I appreciate it.
You got it. And thanks to everybody for listening and tuning in to Teeing It Up with Jeremy Shung on Block Talk Radio and the Golf News Radio Network. We will preview the PGA Championship. Will Rory be playing? We'll find out next week. See you then. Have a great week, everybody.